Hey, this is Civillian, and you're listening to Music's Journey Podcast with Kim Sear.
Welcome back to Music's Journey Podcast, where you can hear more about the artist, the band, and the lyrics and music. I'm your host, Kim Sear. Boy, do I got a show for you today. So before I jump into my interview with the amazing hard rock band, Civillian, there are a few things that I'd like to go over with you first. If you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show. And it really does help grow the community that we are developing here. If you are someone who has just recently found our podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you here, so please make sure you subscribe and stay tuned to future episodes. To everybody listening to today's show with Civillian, please make sure you take a snapshot and post it to your Instagram story and hashtag Music's Journey Podcast, Now and Then Magazine, and Civillian. I will feature you in our next podcast. So without further ado, here is my interview with Civillian.
It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artists. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With our special guests, here's your host, Kim Sear.
This show is a really special one for me here today. I have Canadian independent hard rock band Civillian here to talk about their second release, the highly anticipated collaboration with Adam Gonche from St. Asonia, formerly 3 Days Grace. These guys are sowing the seeds for themselves to take over the place on the world stage. So welcome to the show, Civillian.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have you guys. I've been waiting for this one to come out. So welcome to the show. We have Cliff Manzies is here, and he's the vocal and guitarist. And we also have Eddie Fox, who is here, that plays bass for the Hard Rock Quartet. So really happy to have you guys here.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, I'm happy to be here as well.
You guys are doing so great, you know, with the news. There's so much to talk about that you guys have happening here. So take everybody back to the beginning parts of, you know, you guys getting together in the band.
Yeah, so we started out in late 20. We were originally a three-piece as we went in to go and do our first set of songs in the studio. Our bass player at the time ended up going to pursue other projects, and we brought in Ed and Joel, our guitar player, and it all kind of just clicked from there very quickly. Road tested a bunch of new material, got back into the studio, did a couple more songs as a full unit, and really discovered and identified and established our sound.
It's been instant for you guys, like the Ottawa scene for you. Talk about that, the hard rock scene there, and what it was like for you guys to get started, because they have welcomed you with open arms, and you guys have done so well with Rebel for 101.7 and such a huge support to the band. Talk about what it was like when you guys first started.
It's been incredible, you know, especially as you mentioned with Rebel being here in town and bringing hard rock music back to kind of mainstream in the Ottawa music scene. It's been incredible experience getting out there and playing with like-minded individuals, and there's a real camaraderie amongst all the bands in Ottawa. You know, we were really starting to rebuild a music scene that was dormant for a very long time. And it's been great. It's been absolutely incredible. You know, I'm from Ottawa, you know, born and raised here, so it's really nice to kind of see that resurgence. And you know, for Ed, I'll let him kind of speak to it. He's from Windsor, so he has a really cool perspective on the music scenes.
Yeah, so the music scene in Windsor is very, very different, obviously. So moving here, I didn't really know what to expect. And I moved here in 2015. I went to university at Carleton for music, and I was doing different projects there, mostly like jazz and funk, because I took the jazz program at Carleton.
Oh, okay.
And then I kind of needed a break from all that stuff, because I was working 24/7 pretty much doing some studio work and just classes in general. I never ended up finishing my degree because of how busy I was all the time. But I needed a break, so I cut all my projects off. And then about 2 days into that, Joel, our lead guitar player, messaged me saying, "Hey, do you want to come jam with us? We got a couple shows coming up. We need a bass player." So I listened to the tracks that they sent me that were unedited and kind of really, really rough, but they were amazing. Mm-hmm. I went and played with them, and that was awesome. And then I didn't know what to expect with all the other rock bands, because I didn't really know many of the different rock bands in Ottawa, being in the jazz and funk scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just the amount of support from the fans that we have and the other bands was incredible. And I've never been anywhere else like it, to be honest.
It's amazing to see, you know, how much hard rock is finally coming back, because, you know, like you said, it's been really absent quite a bit when it comes to being played on the radio stations. And that it's really amazing, you know, to see this resurface again, but to the degree that it has, because you guys have really hit hard and fast. And that acceptance that you guys have had as an independent band alone, you know, because it's just, I think live streaming has played a big part when it comes to like getting to be played on the radio. And like you said, for 101.7, being able to pick that up and really focus, you know, on this band, that's got to be a pretty amazing feeling to see what you guys have done as an independent band.
It's incredible. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we certainly wouldn't be at the place that we're at with not only the support of Rebel and their team, they've always been incredible to us from day one, but also the other bands in the area and of course the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really and truly, everybody takes care of each other here and wants to see everybody succeed and props everybody up. And there's some really great friendships that built amongst the bands. And as much as, you know, we know that everybody's been excited for the things that we've been able to do, we're equally as excited as they are with what all the other bands have been doing in our scene. So, you know, it kind of, not to jinx it or anything like that, but it's kind of got that Seattle in the 90s feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something slowly building up that I think is going to explode.
I think so too. And for you guys to be crossing borders and for borders not to be a part of the situation anymore, like 10 years ago, artists that were coming up and bands that were coming up didn't have that, you know, kind of luxury to be able to have no borders. And for you guys, you know, with the digital platform, for people to be able to download and share to people across the world, you know, people are hearing this music really almost for the first time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm a little bit older than the other guys. I remember, you know, in my first band in high school, you know, my demo was still on a cassette tape.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's certainly having that medium available to us now, where it's easy to get material out there and get it to a broad audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible tool that if you're doing it right and you're doing it consistently, then it will get to people's ears. And hopefully, you know, you can connect with people enough that they want to share it and get it out there.
My first was on a cassette tape too. I was just five.
And what was that? And what was that in?
A song that I wrote with my brother that my mom recorded. And the name is a little bit rude, but it's called Dad Likes Fat Chicks.
Oh.
Pop hit of Windsor.
Oh, that's so funny. See, that's what you gotta love about podcasts. We can pretty much say what we want, right?
So, yeah.
Played with a little tiny xylophone.
That's right.
And a little rinky-dink piano.
So, you know, when you're talking about the acceptance, you know, for you guys, and who are your influences? You're talking about bands that you guys have played with. There's some pretty special bands, you know, that you guys have been a part of. But, you know, I think I've met you, Cliff, over at Edgefest years ago.
Yeah.
And I think I talked to you backstage because there was quite a few bands that you had been involved with back then.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it goes back. I was one of those ones. I was in the pit all the time doing the interviews, going from one stage to the next stage in the pouring rain all the time. So, yeah, I loved Edgefest. I loved getting to see all the different bands that were playing in there. And, you know, they're from all over the world. So we had a lot of fun, you know, seeing the different influences and just the fluctuation between now and what was back then. It's incredible.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, speaking to influences, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, it wouldn't be very disingenuous to say that we don't have significant influences that impact how we go about doing things and
mm-hmm.
how we craft what we're doing. I think we have the luxury of the four of us really come from different kind of backgrounds and we have different tastes in music that fortunately, you know, they all cross over. But you know, as Ed was saying, he's a funk guy, but he's also into heavier stuff than I care to listen to. You know, Joel's a metalhead. Perns comes from like a pop punk and punk background.
Oh, pop punk.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we're able to bring in a lot of incredible different perspectives on how we want to go about writing, and I think it really shows through in a lot of the stuff that we do. You know, we get a lot of compliments, and I'm going to pump Ed's tires for a minute here. We get a lot of compliments on our bass parts because they're so interesting and active, and they suit and serve the melody and the purpose of the song so well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dancing around my living room right now, by the way.
He's going, keep it coming. Well, you know, when you talk about influences and seeing how far you guys have come, and it's just in such a short period of time, it's incredible. But as independent artists, because so many fans don't understand, what you guys have done is pretty incredible, because there's no borders. And, you know, for so many bands, it was so difficult to even get any kind of traction whatsoever in one of, you know, any other countries. But now, like the UK, Germany to, you know, Australia, everywhere is playing your music. And it is just so cool to see those borders come down. And you guys have that capability to bring your band over into the world stage, which you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, we like to review and follow and analyze our demographics and take a look at how things are performing in certain areas. And it's really cool to see, you know, the U.S. obviously having a massive population is our biggest fan base currently, followed closely by Canada, and then followed closely after that by Russia, of all places. So, you know, it's cool to see that the music is places, and that, you know, as a small town independent band, that we can make an impact like that with what we're currently doing right now with the infrastructure that we have set up for ourselves.
Most of the time, you know, when you thought about making it big and being able to go into other countries, you'd be thinking about a label. And so for you guys to be doing it as an independent artist, you know, says an awful lot to what you guys are doing in your music and the lyrics and the messages that you guys are giving in your music, because it's pretty damn cool.
Thank you.
When you guys released your album last year, your 2020 album, On Death and Dying, that did so well. Were you guys so surprised to see, you know, over 500,000 streams on a self-released album? I keep wanting to emphasize that because it's so difficult to do. You know, and you guys are such a hard grinding band, playing show after show after show and building one fan at a time. And, you know, you're doing it the old fashioned way. And you know what, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we had no idea that it would get to that level. And it's still, you know, we'll still get really excited over milestones, and we'll send messages back and say, hey, you know, it hit another 10,000, hit another 50,000 streams today.
I message you guys when I hear it on the radio. I go, hey, what is this on the radio? Every day.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pretty amazing feeling, I can imagine.
It's still very surreal. Mm-hmm. And hopefully just the tip of the iceberg.
Really? That's, you know, a guarantee. When you're talking about the album concept, you know, when it comes to that particular album, On Death and Dying, tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, heavy subject. It was something that when I was in college, and we're going back in a while now.
We're older than you now, so we can't say anything.
I'm coming up on 33 this year, so.
Oh, that's
we're getting there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
little baby.
I took psychology as an elective, and it was something that came up over and over again. Was the Kubler-Ross model, the five stages of grief, and how can be different perspectives or different situations? And it was something that really kind of resonated with me then. And I always thought, you know, if I ever get the opportunity to do a concept album, that's how I'd want to start. I'd want to start by going back. You know, I've played in some bands over the years where I kind of broached the subject, but it never really got off the ground. And when I finally kind of brought it up with these guys, I think they were more excited about it than I was to get going. And How It Ends was really kind of the first song that we built out for that album, and knew once that song was done that we had a pretty clear idea and a clear path. path on how to get it done. And honestly, if it, you know, I still have a lot of music left in me, but if I were never put out, you know, another piece of music, that would be, yeah, I'm just so unbelievably proud of that work. So
yeah, because How It Ends was your self-released, you know, in 2019 single that has over 300,000 streams. And it's been featured on Spotify's Rock Your Block and Rock Favorites. So, you know, you guys have done so well. And then Crisis, you know, that did so well on Spotify, being featured for the new punk tracks and Crash Course editorial playlist. So you guys have done so well with that album. It's incredible.
Thank you. It was just amazing how naturally it all came together, too. We just kind of sat down and got it done. It was pretty wicked.
When you guys are writing, and you know, because you guys have had some pretty powerful messages, you know, when it comes to your lyrics and what you're trying to, you know, say in your music, and how much of it's based, like, where's your inspiration coming from? Is it real life, or is it things that you're watching around you?
It's a bit of both. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, from my perspective, when it comes to writing, you know, it has to be something real or tangible, something that I connect with. Otherwise, I feel like I can't connect with anybody else. Like, we're not that band that is ever going to write a song about, you know, drinking and partying and excess and stuff of that nature. That's not,
we do that on our own time.
Good point, Ed.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of the stuff that resonates with me from bands that I love are the heavier subjects and topics, things that are a little bit more intelligent and make you think and feel the music.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so evoking when it comes to your music and the stuff that you guys have to say. You know, when it comes to the pandemic and going through all of this, did it have an impact in what you guys were deciding to do, you know, with this new album that you got? This is your first full-length album that's coming up, and that's Versus. And it's really cool. You've got two releases off of that. Talk about that one, Ed.
For me, I think it's the perfect and also the worst time for me to write, because during a pandemic, I'm locked away, and the music that I write personally is very sad, and Cliff kind of has to take that after I can't work on it anymore, and he makes it a little more broad to cover more people, because I write very, very literally and very specifically to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God I have Cliff to make it a little more musical for everyone and not just for me. But I'm like, even right now I'm working on a tune. It's probably the saddest thing I've ever written, and I have to chop that up to the pandemic, because it's what caused those feelings for me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so the pandemic, like, is the best and the worst thing musically, personally.
What has been the biggest challenge, you know, for you guys trying to get your music out there during this time? Talk about that, Cliff.
I think the distance. You know, we do our best work when we're in the room together and we can feel things out and talk things out, rather than recording on our own and piecing things together that way. I don't personally really think that we're that kind of band. I think we could absolutely do it under the circumstances, but mm-hmm. you know, we, you know, to get the proper flow and make sure everything feels right, because at the end of the day, we want to be performing these songs. It's not just about putting together music and getting it out there. It's about getting out on a stage and playing it for people. You know, you need to be in a room to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody plays off of one another and how everybody feels it out. So that, absolutely, you know, we went probably a solid 6 months initially when the first lockdowns happened, where we hadn't seen each other in person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as more things have happened throughout this process with additional lockdowns, stay at home orders and all that craziness, you know, it's been hard to kind of get back into a consistent rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were talking about it, you know, Ed, when you were talking about what you're going through with the song that you're writing now. There's so many fans, you know, that can relate, you know, to the hard times and, you know, getting the noise out of the way, because you guys hit real hard, real fast, but you guys were playing, you know, constantly just to be able to, you know, get the fans and get that traction. And then all of a sudden everything stops. And, you know, you got this huge success in the album. And then now when you got that time to really think, sometimes it can be pretty overwhelming because you're so used to going, going, going. And then to have those thoughts, you know, you can get lost in those. And that's, you know, what people have been struggling with, artists have been struggling with. What was, you know, the challenge for you? Because, and that silver lining, that you're looking for during that time? Because I know it's hard, and you know, we got to face it. We got to get rid of the noise, and then we're stuck with our thoughts. But being able to push through that, is that what's coming out in the writing that you've got right now?
I think that's definitely part of it. It's an outlet for me to write music and to play music. Mm-hmm. But what was kind of going through my head, because I knew that other people are having these feelings too, and they're locked at home, and maybe they don't have the like the time or the drive to really learn how to play music and help themselves that way. So like some people really like to listen to music as their outlet. I know I do. Mm-hmm. So maybe if I can write something that really relates to people going through this, mm-hmm. then I can help some people out with that. Because I didn't get into music to become famous. I think anyone that does is a fool.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I got into music because I love playing music, and I love other people listening to my music.
Mm-hmm. And I knew that with you, Cliff, too, when I talked to you backstage, you know, at Edgefest, because it was really important to you, you know, to be able to write for yourself, to be able to play the music you wanted to play. It wasn't about trying to, you know, create those anthems and all those, you know, songs that, you know, they're great. Those are always amazing. But at the same time, it was more focusing on what was important to you in your lyrics, in your music, not about what the radio station was going to play.
Oh, for sure. And I still feel the same way. And I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, we've never once in the entire process of doing what we're doing here sat down and said, we have to write a radio single. Like that's not anywhere in the back of our mind. Mm-hmm. We want to write pieces of music that are going to stand up against other things and stand the test of time, and something that you can go back to over and over and over again and not feel like it burns itself out.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel the pandemic has affected this release? You know, this much anticipated release, and how did it affect the band?
It had a huge impact on it. You know, we had to sit on this particular song to sit on Wars for a long time, and we're not used to that. You know, typically speaking, our turnaround times are very quick. You know, mm-hmm. we write things, we road test things, we get into the studio, and we get releases out. So, you know, there's probably, yeah, absolutely, things that we did right and did wrong with this release is simply based on the fact that we had been sitting on it for so long and wanted to get it out there and wanted to be able to move on to the next thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the pandemic, it really and truly, it's affected everything.
Mm-hmm. What do you find is the silver lining, you know, in all of this for you guys?
Oh man, I think there was, because we were so busy all the time between shows and studio and everything else in between, I think there was some burnout going into March of last year. So I mm-hmm. think everybody's had an opportunity to, you know, hit the reset button a little bit, refresh themselves and get that excitement and that energy level back up. I know for me, absolutely at the beginning, it was nice to be able to kind of pause everything a little bit. I've been driving myself crazy ever since, and I'm ready to get back out there.
You're tired of your old company?
Yeah.
No, I know it's been a big challenge, you know, for a lot of people, but when you're looking at recording and putting out an album like this, your first independent full-length album, doesn't it give you a little bit more time to be able to look at songs, you know, in a different way, maybe put a little bit more time into it that you may not necessarily have had? Because like you're saying, you're usually cranking them out, but being able to give, you know, that care and a little, you know, that vision that you guys have, you know, especially with your new release right now and Cure, the two singles off of this album, pretty incredible to see the vision behind all of that work. And I think, you know, that it's just normally you just don't have that kind of time when you're on the road and doing radio tours and doing all that stuff. You go in, you record, you come out. But I think maybe the songs could breathe a little bit more, giving you guys, you know, more time to express what you wanted this album to stand for.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. There's a great opportunity for perspective there. I think it can be a double-edged sword.
True.
And how you're sitting on it. I think, you know, we certainly don't rush releases. Everything we plan out, how things are going to go roll out and dates and times and stuff like that. I think, you know, you have that mad rush in the week leading up to something going out to make sure you have all of your ducks in a row and everything's know, absolutely. It's been nice to kind of, we have a lot of material that we've been working on for it, and to be able to sit back and analyze it and say, okay, you know, can we play with this a little bit more? Can we do something a little bit differently here so it doesn't sound similar? Like this
thing. Just gotta be careful about overthinking it too, because that happens for sure.
Yeah, but like you're saying, like, you know, Ed brings in something different that you might spend a little bit more time going, hey, you know, we could use that here where you probably may not have, right? So just giving that little bit more of creative flow, you know, that can really make a big difference in what you guys are putting out. So it's really cool. You guys are just masters at this stuff, and you can tell that you're very focused, you know, on the work that you're doing. And that's nice to see. And that's going to be, you know, a really great thing, you know, in the longevity of your careers, you know, as a band. So that's very cool. Let's talk about the good and the bad, like the honesty, the unique challenges that the heavy music has had, you know, and the bands in Canada.
It's probably, you know, probably one of the most frustrating facets of doing things independently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have your bands because there's a current trend at Canadian radio that's moving away from heavier music currently. You know, we're in fact even losing rock stations. You know, we just lost an incredible asset in Windsor. And they were probably one of the biggest champions, if not the biggest champion of heavy music in Canada. So to lose that asset obviously poses even more challenges. So, you know, and being so close to the States as well, as, you know, sharing a border, they love heavy music down there. It's, you know, we were considered soft compared to a lot of the stuff that they do down there.
I was going to say, you guys have been absolutely shoe-in for the U.S. for sure.
Yeah, well, hopefully. You never know how things are going to land with people, but, you know, we certainly hope that everything translates over well to them and that they receive things and the word gets out the right way.
I think that, you know, you guys had some news that I saw on your Facebook page there, because you guys are going south.
We finally are able to reach out to different radio stations in the States, and they're like, we had a few that were spinning our tracks before, but now we're getting some help, and it's always good to accept help, even though it's kind of a hit on your pride. But we have someone helping us out, getting us onto radio stations now, and that's kind of mostly what that pertains to, is that more people are able to hear our music without actively searching for us, and I think that's super important.
You guys have had so much success in 2020. As I said, you guys have been busy writing and in production and gearing up for this full-length album. Tell us about the concept behind this album and the two releases that you've released so far.
You know, the initial idea was, in dealing with the last year that everybody's had to deal with, is all of these songs are songs of conflict, whether it's existential conflict, internal conflict, observational. All of the songs kind of deal with different observations of that. So we set the initial rollout to kind of break it up into little chapters of the entire album, to kind of, you know, consistently have content going out, something that, you know, people can look forward to, having something new every couple of months, rather than having the excitement of dropping an entire album and then, you know, excitement kind of falls off and they're waiting for the next thing, because we, you know, our current culture, it just consumes so much so quickly that everybody's always looking for the next thing. So I think breaking it up that way made sense, and the way that the songwriting process was going made sense to kind of have it roll out that way.
So the name of the album, Versus, talk about that.
Yeah, it really just kind of highlights the base idea of conflict, that there's always two sides. And sometimes the issue is that the two sides can't find a gray area. You know, it's pretty divided, black and white. And you know, the way that we write things, we try and write things very optimistically, with the hope of you know, finding a positive feeling in the midst of potentially negative situations. So,
right.
You know, Versus kind of sums all that up.
I loved the video for Cure. Like, you released this one in January this year, and it has quickly gained, you know, the band heavy invested fan base, which is, you know, you guys have been streaming this one is like 25,000 times already. And I think it's probably higher than that now, right?
Yeah.
It's probably way higher than that.
You know, just off the top of my head, it's definitely past 25,000 just on Spotify. So
mm-hmm. Have to look, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the whole concept behind, you know, the album and Cure, it was just so brilliant at this time, you know, everything that the world is going through right now. And as you said, it's just taking two opposite opposing sides and being able to remind everybody, you know, we can resolve this. We can do this, you know, where we can come together. We might not agree, you know, on things and have different visions, but we can do it peacefully. We can have a positive resolution to stuff. I just loved the video that you guys did with this. Talk about creating and that video and the concept behind, you know, the person standing behind the glass with all the, you know, trying to get out and so frustrated, you know, with everything that was going on. It's just such a cool way to look at it.
Yeah, I think you really just kind of hit the nail on the head there. You know, we do absolutely everything in-house. Our drummer owns his own studio, so we record everything there. All of our visuals are done in-house. Our, you know, Joel does a lot of the visual work for us, and he did that entire video himself, and I think he did it in the span of, like, just a couple of days. He had a very clear idea of what he wanted, and he just kind of got it done, and I think, yeah, you know, he enlisted his soon-to-be wife to be the model in that one, and I think she was excited to be a part of it and present the idea. So yeah, you really hit the nail on the head. It's you know, that frustration and internal conflict in trying to express mm-hmm. yourself and the breakthrough.
It's perfect to what's going on around the world, because we're all facing that, right? So we're all just so frustrated at certain things that are going on and, you know, things that are happening in our lives. But it also can be somebody personally going through what they are, as we said, cutting out the noise and having that voice that normally wouldn't have that kind of impact in your life, because you can still go out, you can work, you can be with your friends, you can, you know, life goes on. You have those outlets. But when that's all taken away and you're stuck with those thoughts, people that are going through a lot with mental illness and different things, you know, that they're facing in their lives can take that video and stand there and say, oh God, that's exactly how I feel. And, you know, it's just so many different avenues, so many different stories, background stories that video, you know, affects. And I can see everybody relating to that one. And it's just such a cool concept. What a great job Joel did.
Yeah. He's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Wow. A vision. He's an artist, man. That's really cool. The anticipated single, the one I've been waiting for, because you know what, I know Adam, and he is an amazing soul and a very, very cool guy. So tell us about the concept for Wars, because the video on this one too, I'm telling you, you guys are just rocking it. You are just knocking it out of the park with this stuff.
Thank you. I think before I really kind of dive into it, I just have to kind of mirror what you said. You know, Adam is probably the nicest person on the planet. He's so down to earth. He's incredible.
Easily the best and easiest person we've worked with.
Oh, that's nice.
That's my opinion.
That's nice.
You know, he's incredibly thoughtful. He was incredible throughout this entire process in wanting to ensure that our vision was met and he exceeded everything that we had thought going into it. And we already, you know, we're already incredibly excited to work with him, because, you know, it's Adam Gonche, and you know, knew that he was going to bring something incredible to the table, and he absolutely knocked it out of the park. So we could not be happier about it. You know, with respect to the song itself, it's almost kind of full circle with this song. The lyrics in the verses for this song originally came from an old demo that when the band was kind of starting out, before the band even had a name and didn't really have a direction or an idea of what it wanted to be, the song was called Civilian. And had those first lyrics in it. And when we got to the point where we were finally ready to send some music to Adam, I knew that those lyrics still meant a lot to me, and I thought that they were appropriate for the time and the place. Mm-hmm. So we were able to kind of craft
Well, I guess, because like it's so powerful, you know, it's just, there's so much that's going on in this world right now, you know, with the hate against each other instead of working together. And, you know, the video just pours that out instantly, letting you know, hey, we're doing this and we're not going to get away with this. This is going to come back. You think it's not going to come back, but it's going to come back. We're going to have to deal with our consequences and everything that we're doing right now and what we're doing to our own world, to our own people. It's so powerful. It's just brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, I think kind of part of the vision of the song is that, you know, everybody is so adamant on, you know, telling everybody that they have to accept everything, that mm-hmm. they have to accept every single difference and every single, you know, understanding. And I think if we just boil it down to just being able to tolerate differences and, mm-hmm. and being step back and say, I don't agree with you, but I, you know, I respect that you have your own view of this, and mm-hmm. not allowing the differences to become conflict. It's just,
well, there's
so better off.
Yeah. There's no healthy debating anymore. Like, you know, to have different points of view is just crazy, you know, where things have gone to. And it's just allowing somebody else's voice to be your voice instead of having your own. You're capable of thinking about it yourself. What do you want the world to be? We're bringing down the skies. We're bringing it to ashes. Like, it's just so incredible, you know, what you guys did with this.
Thank you.
Very cool. Now talk about the video, because I want to know how he created that one. I really would love that. That was good.
Yeah. Do you want to take that one?
Sure. So the video for Wars, Joel got that together so fast. I think it took longer to come up with what we wanted to do. We had a lot of different ideas, the concept of the video itself, and then once we actually honed in on what we wanted to do, Joel just went for it. And because it was during a pandemic, we had way too much time to think about it. way too much overthinking. That concept that we finally used was one of the original ones that we came up with. And then we went through a bunch of different ideas, and then we just kind of came back to that one. Obviously, we didn't go find a burned down city and hire a child to go walk around it. It's all stock footage that we paid for, but it's what Joel did with it that made
yeah.
it artistic and beautiful. He edited it and he spliced it together. He made things kind of pop with the music itself, and it brought a very different visual aspect that even I wasn't expecting when he showed us. And I was blown away, and I hope everyone else was too when they saw it.
100%. I was watching it a few times, you know, and it's just, you know, you can't help it because you see so much. If you watch it one time and you go back to watch it again, you see something different. And then again, mm-hmm. it's just like you catch so much that you don't see in the first take. And it's just, it's so worth it, you know, to see a few times because it's an incredible body of work that he did there. What a vision. And he definitely read the lyrics, you know, and really gave that impact, that heavy thought that we need to have, you know, in this world. So we are going to play Wars by my very special guest, heavy rock band Civilian, featuring Adam Gonche here on Music's Journey.
Cumbling the ashes, the fires we built.
That is Civilian with their song Wars from the album Versus, featuring Adam Gonche there on Wars. I think my ears are bleeding. little bit. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here's your host, Kim Sear.
You guys must be ecstatic to see how the people have received this song.
Yeah, so for me personally, this song was pretty incredible when Cliff brought the original concept to us. He explained to us as well when he brought the idea that this was a song that he wrote a very long time ago. It was named Civilian before Civilian was that band. And I thought since Adam Gonche was such a crucial part of all of us and his music when we were younger and growing up and just starting to dive into music, I thought that was a beautiful way to kind of bring everything together, mm-hmm. Having a song that he wrote before Civilian was a band. Like, obviously, we all worked on it together, and things aren't exactly the same as they were when Cliff wrote it, you know, probably 30 years ago.
Nice slide in there.
For me, that was a beautiful thing, and I was really happy that we could do that. And the song itself, for me, it hits me really hard. It's a very powerful song, I think, to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to have one of our like musical idols on it with us is just it's still, you know, I get a dry mouth thinking about it. And I think I don't know if a lot of people are expecting something that hit that hard. I know, like,
I wasn't.
You know, Adam Gonche, then of course, but it blows my mind still. I'm always amazed with the guys that I work with, and I think a lot of the people that heard it are pretty impressed with it as well.
Oh God, you can't help it. You know, if you wrote that and started this concept years ago, what does that feel like to you now, Cliff? You know, when you're seeing what's going on in the world now, and you had that concept years ago.
Yeah, it just kind of, you know, plays to that hope that you can create something that's a little bit, you know, more timeless. You know, it's unfortunate that the idea of the song or the idea of the lyrics is still a present issue.
Mm-hmm.
I've hoped that in, you know, 10 years that things would be changing for the better, and I think that things are on the path to getting better, but we have such a long way to go.
Yeah.
But it's incredible to be able to bring that idea to its full potential and fully realize it and to do it with such incredibly talented guys and such great guys. It's really a dream come true and also a big relief.
Well, it's insane to, you know, when we look back at our history and we look back at generations and what we haven't learned yet in this world and, you know, what we're focusing on, instead of remembering that, you know, we come into this earth, you know, without anything and we leave this earth without anything. And, you know, we're supposed to be loving each other and having a legacy of the people that we connect with. And, you know, to be able to see different points of view and understand each other and embrace, you know, that debate and that healthy debate, but just, you know, to have ideas, that's the whole point. We're all different. We always will be. And you guys, you know, I'm telling you, this is such an incredible, you know, two-song release. I hate to see what's coming up next. I'm waiting on the edge of my seats. You know, John's seat, my seat, I got his on mine. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just, I love this. I think this is going to be a phenomenal hit for you.
Thank you so much.
Now, what are the future plans for the band and your future goals? Go ahead, Ed.
So, we're still talking with Adam Gonche and his team there. We're trying to, because we were on a couple of dates before COVID, and we're seeing what's still happening, because it's kind of hard to plan right now when things are so unsure.
Mm-hmm.
We could lock back down in 2 weeks. We don't know that. So for like right now, we're just going to keep our heads down and keep working as hard as we can, trying to get all the stuff that we want to be able to share with the world out. And obviously we have a great team of guys here, which is a team of four right now. When we're actually playing shows, we have a larger team. Like, we have a merch crew and we have an outstanding sound guy and we have a photographer, which I feel bad because we can't really utilize right now, so hopefully we can connect with them soon with some live stuff and start planning to really get out there and do something wild. But I feel like Cliff would be able to explain it a bit better than I could as well, so I'm going to let him touch on some things as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all kind of future planning. You know, we've already discussed what you know, the follow-up album is going to be for this, and there's already material in the works for that. All of our release plans are for the next kind of 2 years are really kind of falling into place, and we're looking at getting back out in front of people. We already have discussions for late fall, early winter, to get back out on the road and get in front of people. Obviously, that'll be dependent on how things are going with the pandemic, but things seem to be trending in the right direction. So hopefully, as we get through the summer and get into the fall, it'll be kind of back to what we're used to. A lot of work on the road, a lot of work in the studio, and just a lot of content for everybody.
I'm glad.
That's what I said, but smarter.
I'm glad you brought up the team, though, Ed, because, you know, I like to give shout-outs to the people that are doing the promotions and, you know, all the work that goes behind the scenes, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize how hard that is. And, you know, I know Bill has done so much for you at Sharp 9 and doing that end of it and just getting this music out there and making sure, you know, promotions are in place. But you also have your team, you know, that is working on so much more, you know, with the marketing and everything that you guys have to do when it comes to making sure you're getting that stuff in place. If you guys are going to be doing shows, it's a lot. Pull it there. You know, you guys are ready to do the show. Nope, got to pull it back again with pandemic. There's just so many wheels that are turning behind that whole scene.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I mean, the rest of our team, you know, they don't really have the glamorous, if you can say glamorous, jobs when it comes to being in a working band. You know, we are the ones who get to, you know, reap the rewards of being up on stage and getting to perform for people and get stuff out there. And, you know, our merch people and our cameraman and our sound guy and our lighting guy do not get anywhere near, you know, the recognition that they deserve. And you really, you don't do this on your own. It, you know, if you're trying to turn your band into a successful business and run it as such, you need good people behind you that are putting in just as much, if not more, work than you are. Mm.
Yeah, and the social media end of it too. Like, I know you guys do an awful lot of that, and at least you got four of you, you know, that you can divide that upon. But it's a full time job just keeping up and making sure the fans, you know, you're engaging with them, and you know, a lot of it is about, you know, getting the attention. It's not just the talent. You know, with social media involved, that's exactly what you guys have to do. You've got to gain that attention, you know, from each and every one, and getting those clicks and those likes. It's a lot of work.
For sure.
Not easy. Not easy. So
it's a daily grind, for sure. It's a daily grind.
Yeah, well, you guys put out some really cool stuff. So I love watching all the stuff that you guys got coming out. So it's pretty, pretty neat. Now, when it comes to the burning questions portion, are you guys okay to do a few?
Absolutely.
Ah.
Yeah, this is
I hope so.
All right. Number one. So, Ed, top song on your playlist today.
Top song on my playlist is it's a song by an artist called Amigo the Devil, and the song's called You Are Perfect Too.
Oh, okay, perfect. All right, what about you, Cliff?
Oh, I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between two albums that came out right now. There's the newest album from Manchester Orchestra, which is just a perfect album from front to back, and then the newest Architects album. And they just announced a tour too, and I just bought tickets to see them this morning. So,
oh, nice! So you're not going, Ed?
I don't have any money.
Oh, that's so funny.
I just play the bass.
Oh, that was good. That was good timing. All right. So, first concert tickets that you've ever bought, Cliff?
Ooh, I think. First one that I ever bought for myself was 3 Days Grace and Stained.
Oh, nice.
And they were the old Capitol Music Hall in Ottawa. And this is like, God, this is when 3 Days Grace first came out. So like 2004, 2005.
Ah, cool. Okay, so what about you, Ed?
Okay, don't laugh at me, okay?
I'm waiting for him to say, I'm going to guess. No, go ahead.
No, don't laugh. So When my grandma was alive, her favorite artist was Barry Manilow, and I really wanted to go to a concert with her because I saw how passionate she was. So I saved up all the money I could, and the first concert ticket I bought for myself was a Barry Manilow concert ticket.
Wow.
That is so nice.
That is so nice. Wow. I did not see that one coming. I thought you were going to say Justin Bieber or something.
No, Mandy. You came and you gave without taking.
Oh, God, now John's singing. This is not good. Okay. I'm going to quickly rein that one in. All right. So, favorite lyrics of all time and why, Ed?
Ooh, that's so hard. That's such a hard question. I'm going to be a little self-centered right now, and I'm going to have to pick one of our tunes, actually, because it's a song that I originally wrote a bunch of stuff for, and then Cliff took it over and made it so much better, and they hit me so hard. It's the lyrics from The Well.
Oh, yes.
That song rips me apart. When we first played it the first time, I dropped to my knees, and it wasn't theatrical because I was also in a lot of pain because my ribs were broken.
Oh.
But it was, I just cried on stage, half because of the pain, half because of what that song was just doing to me. Tearing me apart.
Wow, that is so cool. Okay, so Cliff, what about you?
Other than what Ed said, that is a difficult song to get through. I'm a huge Thrice fan, and there's a song that they put out on, I'm trying to remember which album. I think it's Major Minor. It's called "Words in the Water," and the lyrics go: "I felt white and black reverse, and a lifting of a curse from my heart." And that song still just like destroys me every time I hear that one song. I'm just like, I can't listen to this anymore.
Well, yeah, you guys write some pretty heavy stuff there too, so I love it. I love it. Okay, so this one to you, Cliff. First, what is your most useless talent?
Oh God, my most useless talent. I don't think talents are useless. There's always a use for them. Oh God, I really love taking song lyrics and making them incredibly inappropriate.
Oh,
yes, you do. Really do, like X-rated, not buddy ever.
I love it.
I can tell Ed can already picture exactly what lyrics he's got in his mind right now.
Oh, I know. Oh, there's so many.
Okay, so what about you? What about you, Ed?
Mine's not nearly as funny. I think my most I have a lot of useless talents. I'm a self-proclaimed useless person, but my main useless talent is that I can whistle while I'm smiling, like open mouth smiling. I can whistle. So it the only time it ever came in handy was in grade 7 when my teacher was deaf in one ear. So I used to whistle in class, smiling at him, and he would lose his mind because he was whistling.
That's funny. Okay, so one thing that you did that was rebellious as a kid, Cliff?
Oh man, I wasn't really that rebellious as a kid. My dad ran a tight ship, so I had the fear of God in me.
So did mine.
One time, I think I was grounded for something, and I snuck out, and it just ended up turning my grounding into, like, instead of being like a weekend, it ended up being like a month.
Oh, so a life lesson that you learned real quick not to do that again.
Yeah, and I have kids now, so I try and apply the same concept of, like, if you do something bad, it's not that big of a deal, but if you do it again, then you're really big people.
I'm laughing because my dad used to say this, what goes around comes around, and I paid for it with my kid.
For sure.
Okay, so we already know about you, Ed, but yes, tell us one rebellious thing about you.
It's also a hard question because I was such a horrible child.
Pick
one. I was
one.
Really bad. Like, whenever I was told to do something, I always tried to do the opposite. What story that you asked for, Cliff?
The System of a Down concert.
Oh, boy. Okay. How graphic can I get?
Oh, whatever you want.
Oh, boy. Okay. So when I was 17, going off to university, my sister bought me some tickets to System of a Down. At the time, it was still my favorite band, and they're still very influential in the stuff that I write. But we ended up sneaking, it was across the border, so we ate a bunch of mushrooms right before we went over the border. Because we didn't want it to be hitting us when we were going through customs, but we also didn't want to have them on us going through customs. So when we got there, I was not okay. But one of their songs called Cigarro came on. I don't know how familiar you are with.
Yeah, I know that one. That one I know.
Okay, so it was raining, and all of a sudden they started playing the song, and I went, I need to get to the front of the stage right now. And there were like three fences in between where we were in the front of the stage. So I just start hopping fences while I'm taking off all my clothes. In the rain. So by the time I get to like the main pit, I'm just like, I'm covered in mud. I'm a mud monster, naked. And I just start moshing. And security like surrounded me. And at this point, like I'm high on drugs. So I'm thinking that the band's just playing to me and this is my moment. So I was just the greased up deaf guy from Family Guy. No one could catch me. Naked and high on drugs, 17-year-old covered in mud, juking all the security guards. And then when the song ended, I ran back to my sister who was just laughing, and everyone else around her was just like jaw on the floor in awe. So I started putting all my clothes and then faded into the crowd.
That is the best story we've had on this show.
That's good. Okay, see, now
yeah,
we know who to go to.
Child. I was 17 when I did that.
I hate to see child. What you were like when you were 3 and 5. Oh, man. Your parents would be sitting there going, no.
I like that story.
I'm going to laugh at that one for a while. That's a good one. Okay. Best prank ever played on a band member, and by who?
Oh, man.
I see Ed's laughing.
Oh, it's not even really a prank. It's just something I did that was really mean. So we were in Toronto. We were playing a couple of shows in a line from like Windsor up to Toronto. Well, to Ottawa, but we were in Toronto. And my farts were so bad in the morning. Just, they were just the worst thing. Like the maid couldn't even go into our room after we left. Like it smelled like death. But I thought it'd be really funny.
That's where the concept came from the album.
Taking a shower. He was in the shower and couldn't get out. Yeah, so he couldn't leave the bathroom because he was in the shower. So I snuck into the bathroom and I peeled back the shower door and I farted into the shower. And then I closed it and ran away. And he's like, what are you doing? Wait.
It'd be so much fun to be on set with you guys in the after parties.
Yeah, no one thought it was funny but me.
Okay, well, we do. We might not have been the moment if it was done to us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. What about you, Cliff?
Oh, man.
He's had time to think about it now.
We don't really prank each other. We rib each other a lot, but like that probably takes the cake.
Have you ever had a band do it to you, though?
A band prank us?
Yeah.
We had a band give us a rude amount of shots before we played one time.
Oh, yeah, that was... must have been a prank. They must have been...
I think they were trying to kill us.
Yeah.
And you went along with it.
This tiny show in Montreal. This is like... Oh, God, this is years. Like year one of the band, I think Ed and Joel had only been in the band for like a couple months, and
yeah, it was like my fourth or fifth show with you guys.
Yeah, we went to Montreal to play the show with another Ottawa based band, and it ended up just being like, I think we drank the bar out of Jägermeister.
Oh no, that stuff's wicked.
I don't think that stuff, anyways. But they just kept giving me shots, like before, after, during. They didn't care. It was ridiculous.
I would just like to note a little disclaimer here. We are not advocating for either drug use or alcohol abuse. We learned our lessons the hard way.
I asked how graphic I could be.
Oh, come on. I just like hearing it. I love hearing the stories. It's so funny. There's one other question that I had to ask, and I'm scared to ask it now. What is the weirdest request you've had from a fan, Ed? Oh God, hold my. I'm just gonna. I'm already covering my eyes.
No. I haven't actually had too many weird requests while I've been in Seville. When I was in high school, I definitely had some weird ones with my band then. Is this like broad throughout all of my musical career, or is this just with Seville?
No, your whole career.
Oh, you know what? I can do a PG one that was with Seville. So we were playing Voodoo Rock Fest, and they had a mechanical bull there. And one of our fans, she's a very dedicated fan. She followed us to Windsor, then up to Toronto. Her name's Kylie. She's great. She insisted that I got on the mechanical bull, but this was after the show, and I don't drink too much before the show anymore after that one with the other band. But I was not okay. I shouldn't have been on anything that moved.
Oh God!
But I went on there, and I did great for one, and then someone yelled out, I think it was her boyfriend, actually. I think he yelled, "Make it sexy."
Oh.
And if you want the video, there's videos of it.
Yep.
It was glorious. It was the most beautiful. It looked like pure art. It was dancing, pretty much. I was dancing with this mechanical bull.
It was in love with embrace.
There's a video of this.
Jessica Alba in Sin City.
Oh. I just have a funny feeling that whenever you drink, Ed, that somehow the clothing disappears.
Do I have stories for you?
I just had that funny feeling. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
I get the brunt of most of it, actually. I do. When I drink, he's worried.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So you get to be, you're always on call, aren't you?
Pretty much. Well, he's just around. Usually we share a room.
Oh God, that'd even be worse. The poor guy doesn't get a break, does he?
He likes it.
Poor Cliff. He's going, I didn't come this far to be in it this long to have to deal with this, is what he's probably saying.
His wife, I don't know if his wife likes it as much as we do, but I think Cliff enjoys it.
That's the story you're going to keep sticking to, isn't it?
I have to believe that. It's the only thing that holds me together.
Well, it has been great having you guys on the show. Again, are you guys going to come back?
Absolutely. As long as you ask me nicely.
Can you come back, Ed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this was a blast. I really appreciate it. And you guys have a great day, and we look forward to having you back.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Kisses.
Kisses and hugs.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by nowandthenmagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, Player FM, Deezer, TuneIn and Alexa, and Podchaser. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. Don't forget to hashtag us at Music's Journey Podcast or Now and Then Magazine. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.